I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I trust the Lord. I hope that is your theme of your life. I hope that's something that you choose to do, to seek the Lord through prayer. Because the Bible has promised us that He hears the cries of the righteous. He hears the cries of His people. And He has promised that He will answer. That's why I trust the Lord. He never fails. He'll never forsake us. That's another principle of His word. We'll be in Galatians today. If you would like to turn there, we've moved out of Psalms. Maybe, I don't know yet for sure. He's still working on that. Hope you enjoyed the Psalms as we have preached through those. A lot of good stuff there, I think. But we'll be in Galatians 1. As I have been thinking about the trip to Zimbabwe and getting back from that, and some of the things that I learned, some of the things that I saw, I hope to share with you today and in the later days. But we're going to pull from these verses here, 6-9, about the world that we live in, the world that they live in, and what does God's word say about that? The title of the message is Why Go? Why go? Well, the stock answer is the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. That is a command. That is our commission from God Almighty. As Christians, we are to go to places like Africa. We are to go to places like Arapaho and Clinton. We are to go to places like our neighbors across the street. We are to go to places like our work and take the Lord Jesus with us. You see, we are called as His children to go forth to tell the good news. There's nobody else that's going to do that. There is no other plan B in God's repertoire of things that we are to do. We have, do we not, as Christians, the greatest story of all stories. That God loves us and Jesus died for us. And through faith in Him, we can have eternal life. The greatest story in history is His story. Okay? I personally just want to thank you for allowing me to go on this trip again. Physically being able to go, I want to thank you for financially supporting me as I go. This church, I know, has a heart for missions, because since I've been here, we've sent people to Malawi and to Ghana and to Zimbabwe, and just to spread the word. That is an agreement to the Great Commission that we have been called to do. So I personally want to thank you for that. And as I think about that in the times that I've gone, I am reminded of when I was a kid. When I first got saved, at the age of 12, somewhere between 12, 13, and 14, I can remember back what I was thinking, and sometimes I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but now I can think about what I was going on, and the thought that I had in my mind was, if I get too close to the Lord, if I just get too much gung-ho for Jesus, that He's liable to send me to Africa as a missionary. And I'm thinking, man, I don't want to do that. I mean, Africa's a long way away, and they've got tigers and lions and bears, and they've got all that. And I'm thinking, please don't make me be a missionary to Africa. And yet now, what? I've been there 8 times. God is so good. I mean, he can take my doubt and he can fill it with blessings, can he not? He's an amazing God. Amazing God. As I was praying through this time to go, and a little question marks about whether I should go since I just got back. You know, I've heard that. Didn't y'all just get back? I've heard that from a lot of people, and amen to the people. Didn't you just get back? And I did. I got back in April. And as I was praying through this, do I go or do I not go? It was going to be a different kind of a mission trip, if you would. I remembered a text that I got from a pastor by the name of Elisha Gonisi. And he is pastor of a church at Goramanzi is where he was at. And he said, I am praying for you that one day you will be able to meet my church and touch the Goramanzi soil. That's what he said. That you will meet my church and you will plant your feet on my soil. And my thought was, well, thank you for the prayer. I appreciate that. But where we go, as all the other trips, we go to a place called Baringwa, which is about almost 6 hours away from Ghana, Missouri. And I'm thinking in my mind, there is no way that I'll ever be able to do that. We go here, and you want me to come here. It's not. Appreciate the prayer, but I just don't think God's going to do that. When I saw the itinerary that what we were going to be doing, one of our stops was Ghanamazoni. I was going to be on his soil. I got to preach in his church. Does God answer prayer? You bet he does. Does God overwrite our doubts? You bet he does. He can take our fears and turn them into blessings, can he not? He can take our doubts and turn them into praise. That's how big our God is. And I don't say that for any of my glory, but I just say that is God working in my life and the life of this church, and he can do the same thing for you as you submit your life to him. God is good all the time. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Why do we go? I want to read all three of those verses here before we start, and then we'll begin talking about some of this. In verse 6, he says, I am amazed that you so quickly deserting him, God, who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Uh-huh. But even if we, Paul, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be cursed. And we have said before, so I say again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be cursed. You know, there are many, many false religions out there. Many false doctrine, many false preachers, many false pastors, many false prophets. And they're all spreading a gospel that is not true. As Christians, we believe, and I hope you believe this, that every soul is important. Every soul is a human being. And to God, that soul is precious and very valuable. We read in Matthew that great question where it says, what does it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? The most valuable thing that you have and I have and the people of Zimbabwe and South Africa all across the world is a soul. Because that soul will live somewhere for eternity. I heard one guy say just this week, well, when I die, I go to the grave and that's it. That is not it. We will spend eternity somewhere, either with the Lord Jesus or separated from the Lord Jesus. The message of the gospel is that Christ came and died in order to rescue you and me from the evils of this world. He came to rescue us from judgment and condemnation and separation from Him for eternity. He came to give us freedom from sin and from death. And that is the greatest story of all stories. Why would God send His Son to do that? Why would God send His Son to go to the cross to endure what He endured? To become sin of one who knew no sin. And the sins of the world were placed upon Him at the cross. Why would God ever do that? Well, I'm going to tell you. Because He loves us eternally. He loves us limitlessly. His love never fails us. His love is bigger than any of our sins. You see, God the Father wants to live with you and I for an eternity. Did you know that? He desires us, number one, to have fellowship with Him here on this earth right now. Fellowship through praying and seeking and reading and talking about Him. But more than that, He wants to spend eternity with us. Can you imagine? The God who created it all wants to have fellowship with you and me. I mean, He doesn't need us. He's got it all. And yet He loves us so much that He said, you know, I'm going to send my Son down there and I'm going to make a way for people to be able to live with me for an eternity. Because you see, those kind of things just don't happen. You see, as sinners who have never trusted in Lord Jesus Christ, for those folks, they are not ever going to be acceptable to God until they make Christ their Lord and Savior. They're not going to be acceptable. Because you see, we and them have sin and have unrighteousness. And because of that, God is perfect and we are not. And we are separated from a perfect God. And God said the only way that you will ever be accepted by Him, by God, is to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. That is the only way. And then when we do, you see, God no longer looks at us as sinners. He no longer sees our sin, but what does He see? He sees us covered with the blood of Christ. And He no longer looks at us as ugly, vile sinners, but sons and daughters who have been covered with the blood of Christ. And then we find ourselves acceptable to a holy God. And you see, that gospel, that message applies to all the people of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. That song's talking about little children, but He's talking about every person on the face of the earth needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter how far away you are from Arapahoe, Oklahoma, that person needs Jesus. That person who has a soul needs Jesus. But there's a lot of stuff out there that aren't very pretty. A lot of stuff out there that's not right. Let's look at verse 6 and 7 again, just real quick. He says, Paul is writing to the Galatians. He said, you know, I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by grace of Christ for a different gospel. He said, I'm amazed that you're walking away from this, which is really not another gospel, only that there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. He said, I'm amazed. Why would you walk away from this? And what I want to share here just real briefly is, what are the issues that I saw in Zimbabwe? The kind of false teaching, the kind of false doctrines, if you would, that they are dealing with, that the pastors are struggling with at times, and these false narratives, these false doctrines, the false pastors, and they're in America, yes, and they are in Zimbabwe. And most of these that I'm fixing to tell you about are within every small rural community that you come across. So when we went to visit these different four or five different pastors, these are some of the things that they're dealing with. And it's sad, but we see the remnants of this in America too. The first thing I would tell you is there's a group called the White Robes. And how do you know who they are? They wear white robes. Okay? They do not believe the Bible. They believe some writing that some guy had thunk up, kind of like a Joseph Smith or a Brigham Young, some philosophy that this guy had. They believe that the more wives that you have, the better chance you're going to be in heaven. And I got to thinking about that. I go, boy, that's just, I'm not sure heaven is where it's at. We saw a guy there that he had built, there was 9 huts, big round huts. 8 of them were for his wives. Each wife had a separate hut. And he would go, whenever he wanted to visit one, he would pick one. But you see, in his mind, he was getting closer to heaven because they have so many wives. Their daughters, when they become the age of 13, are given in marriage. That's the white robes. There's many white robes over there. There's a religion of the ATR, African Traditional Religion. And this is what every African hears about as they're young. And what that is they believe that when mom and dad die and grandma and grandpa die, they're dead, but their spirits are alive and well. And that they sit around and have ceremonies and rituals waiting for the dead grandpa to tell them what to do, to reveal what issues they should go, what road they should take. And they sit around with their rituals and ceremonies waiting for them to be told what to do. That's not very spiritual, is it? But that's big. That's one of the things that they have to combat over there. African traditional religion. The prosperity gospel is big over there. Prosperity gospel. We see it in America, don't we? It's big over there too. You see, what many pastors are doing, and even in our conference that we had in April, we heard of this, that some of the pastors were now going towards the prosperity gospel, which says, you want to exalt me as pastor, then you need to give a little more to the offering plate. You need to fast, and you need to pray, and then you need to give. And the more that you give to the church, which there is the pastor, the more God will bless you. God will bless you by the more that you give to the church, is what their theory is. Has nothing to do with sin, has nothing to do with the Lord, has nothing to do with anything else, has everything to do with you giving. So that they can have, maybe drive a car, maybe have a nicer house. And if you just think about that, I thought, how stupid is that, this poor country? But if that's what they believe, if I can just give a dollar to the offering plate, maybe God will bless that and bring blessings to me, and maybe he'll multiply that to me. And that's big over there that they have to battle against. There was a group, I didn't catch the name of it, but they offer sacrifices of sheep. They will kill sheep in order to receive cleansing for their forgiveness. The apostolics, the Catholics, have all changed what they believe over there. And what they're doing now in order to draw people into them, to their groups, if you would, they have kind of forgotten the gospel, they've kind of forgotten the tradition, and what they have done is allowed the culture of the area to dictate what they want to believe and what they have trust in. Nothing about God, nothing about Jesus. Just how do we bring more into the fold? Well, let's just change what we believe and make it user-friendly, if you would, for the people. Jehovah Witnesses are huge over there. We drove by a big conference where thousands of Jehovah Witnesses were there. Latter-day Saints are there. Witchcraft is in every community. And these pastors are dealing with those kinds of things, those kinds of issues, those kind of false doctrines. I had one pastor tell me, Moses, tell me that he had lost six people from his family of church to other religions because it made it so user-friendly that they didn't have to worry about sin or carrying a cross or living a life that's pleasing to the Lord, but they could just go live however they wanted to live. And he said, I lost six families. I didn't have six families to lose, is what he told me. There is a pool over there of demonic power, if you would, to pull people away from the gospel. And they're in every community that we went into. And yet these pastors that we talk to are so strong, so faithful. And you wonder where they get that kind of faithfulness. We go to encourage them to stay faithful. Okay? We remind them that Jesus is the only way for salvation. We support them by telling them that with God all things are possible. And we love on them, telling them that we have people across the waters that are praying for them. You see, they have a big job. And I believe we are called to support them. Why? Because every soul is precious to the Lord. Verse 8 and 9. Let's look at that real quick, please. He said, but even if we, or Paul, or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what you have been preached to you, contrary to that Jesus is Lord and Savior, he is to be cursed. And you have said this before, so I say it again. If a man preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be cursed. One of the verses that we tell him all the time over there is John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Without Jesus, there is no salvation. Without Jesus, there's no hope. Without Jesus, there's no heaven. Without Jesus, we are just most people to be pitied, it says in Corinthians. And we remind them of that verse. And what the Apostle Paul is saying is, that is your foundation, guys. You accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know it. You have faith in him. But you've got to stay faithful. And he says, you know, if I come back to you and preach a gospel that's not God loves you, Jesus died for you, he rose on the third day, salvation comes through only through the blood of Christ. If I preach something different to you, number one, don't listen to it. Number two, he said, I would be cursed. If an angel were to do the same thing, if an angel came from heaven and preached a different gospel than that Jesus saves and Jesus is the only way, then that angel is to be cursed. If other men come into your church and they preach a gospel that is not all about Jesus, they are to be cursed. You see, Paul was pretty tough about that, wasn't he? He said, you know what you believe. Don't waver from what you believe. Don't turn your back from what you believe. Don't ever, ever give up. Because there's a message there that the prosperity people want you to know, that people want to have their ears tickled anymore, don't they? Even in Zimbabwe, they want their ears tickled. And we see that today in America where all the mega churches are out there and they have a message, but the message leaves out one word and they leave out sin. They leave out a word that they need salvation. And yet people flock to those huge, huge mega churches, don't they? Because they want their ears to be tickled. They want to hear that your best life is now. Okay? Your best life is now is what they will tell you. I would love to be able just to talk to Jim and Clarence one more time and say, Jim and Clarence, is your best life now? Are you thinking about you're really wanting to come back to this earth? And they would say, no, this is not, down here is not your best life. I've got my best life now because I made Jesus my Lord and my Savior. or they preach a message here and there that, all roads lead to heaven. The Bible says, no, there's only one road, and it's very narrow, and very few people find it. And yet people want their ears to be tickled. The message that we hear over there and over here is everybody goes to heaven. Everybody's going to make it. God's a loving God. He'd never send anybody to hell. Everybody's going to make it. No, they don't. No, they don't. We know that. I'm not going to elaborate on that, but no, they don't. And the Bible says those folks that preach that kind of a message that steers people away from God, who steer people away to a road headed towards hell, the ones that point people that way when the gospel points you that way, he says they are to be cursed. They will receive eternal judgment. They will receive eternal punishment. Those that say the more you give, the more God will bless you. No, that's not right. The one who says, well, if you just give more to the church, Christ has not come back yet because we all haven't given enough. You see, the Bible says he gives those folks a warning, those false prophets. He said, you'll be cursed for an eternity. The judgment of God will fall upon you. I would urge you as we think about this and we're kind of bombarded with a falseness, I would urge you not to read those books of those guys that are not teaching the gospel. I would urge you not to listen to their podcast. And I would urge you not to give to them. Because you see, when you give and listen and reading of something that is not God-centered, that's not Christ-centered, you are dealing with ungodly spiritual matters that are not spiritual. Paul says, you know your faith, believe in it. Folks in Zimbabwe, you know what you've been taught. Don't turn your back. America, don't turn your back. Matthew 7, 15 and 16 says it this way. He says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Beware of false prophets. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, which is a teaching, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. One of the things the enemy does, he makes it look like he is godly, and yet is very not godly, is very demonic. We go to encourage those people. That's why we go. We go to tell them, stay faithful. People of Zimbabwe, people of Arapahoe Baptist Church. Stand strong in your faith, guys. Don't deviate from your faith, men and women. Resist the temptation to follow after something that is not godly in your life, because it'll be very easy to do that. You see, we have the same problems here in America that they do in Zimbabwe. And that same problem all focuses around a word called sin. They have a sin problem in Zimbabwe. America has a sin problem. And once we have been born again, and once they've been born again, do not look back. Stay faithful. Do not compromise. Because this gospel is for everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Every soul is precious in this building. Every soul is precious in Arapahoe Clinton. Every soul is precious to the Lord in America. Every soul is precious to God in Zimbabwe. Why is it so precious? Number one, he made each of us in his image. And number two, the price that he paid in order for you and I to be able to spend eternity with him by sending his son to die on a cross. That's why it is so important that we remain faithful to him. We stay strong in him. And that remember Every soul is precious. Every soul in your family is precious. Every soul in at your work is precious to the Lord. Every soul you come in contact with is precious to the Lord. Every soul of a person that looks different than you, that speaks different than you, has a different language than you, has much more of a tan than you, they are precious to the Lord. Why do we go to Zimbabwe? Why do we send folks over there? Why do we go across the street? Because every soul is precious to our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this time. Father, I thank you that you have pressed upon me, Father, and hopefully others, how precious every person is, how valuable they are to you. And God, I pray that we can get a glimpse of that in our hearts and our minds, that we are called to go to share the good news, that God loves them and that Jesus died for them and he rose again. And what we have to do is just by faith and by grace accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Father, you've called us to go forth with the gospel. And God, I pray that today's message will encourage others to do that, that we will see the need to do that, and that every person is valuable to you. So God, we thank you for that. Father, I thank you for bringing me back. God, I thank you for allowing me to go. And Father, the things that you have taught me in this time, Father, I pray I'll be able to share those clearly with this great group of people. So, Father, we give now to you the invitation time, inviting people to come to you. Father, I pray that you've been working on a heart of somebody in here that they know deep down they've never made Jesus their Lord and Savior. They know it, but they don't want to believe it. And, Father, week after week, they feel convicted. They feel something inside that's not right, and they try to ignore it. Father, I pray you will continue to bring conviction into the lives of that person. Because, Father, you want every one of us to live with you for eternity. Father, you want every one of us to know that you have a great plan for our lives, that you'll never fail us nor forsake us. So, God, I pray for that person, those people in here that have never accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, that today is their day. And, Father, I pray for believers, Christians, people that are committed, that they won't so easily deviate from the truth of the gospel, that the things of this world will not pull them away, but their faith will remain strong, uncompromising. Their love for you will grow stronger. Father, I thank you for those that have come today to hear the message. And Father, as a message goes forth over Rumble and of Facebook, I pray you will use it to draw others to you. Thank you, Father. As we begin our invitation time, I ask you to respond to the Lord. However that might be, if you've never been born again, accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, please do it today. Don't put it off any longer. We are not promised tomorrow. Believers, if the souls of people are not precious to you, Father, I pray you'll confess that. Clean that up. Ask the Lord to make people special to you because they need the Lord. We all need the Lord. As you pray, piano plays. I'm here if you need me.